Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
Obviously, you guys work in the sort of mortgage and lending space. So I was thinking the best place to start is there. And, you know, from your perspective, sitting where you sit, what do you think are the top three challenges that are facing incumbent mortgage lenders right now with inside the financial services slash fintech space?
Yeah, I think on the one hand, you have those general problems every incumbent has to tackle.
Yeah.
So you just have, let's say, old business models, old IT systems, et cetera. So that's very general.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I think you have very specific challenges. And my personal view is, but I think that's not very exotic, is that segment by segment, you see that those segments on a national level are disrupted by small players who in the end become, let's say, global players. And if you take the, let's say, the Dutch fintech, let's say, space or ecosystem, you could say, okay, in the past you had, as an example, payments which were done on a national level, and then Adyen built a system, and in the end they are a global company and they're only doing payments, but they don't do, let's say, retail stuff, etc., or wealth management or whatsoever. And I think that's the biggest problem of banks, that they have to serve in a way national clients, and they can't just close down, let's say, all their outlets, and then a neobank comes by and starts to build a new infrastructure, and how do you close down all those outlets? How do you close down all your cards if somebody pays with an iPhone, etc.? So I think that's something which is very specific for fintech. Yeah. For the incumbents in the financial space.
And what about from Vishy's point of view? What would be, as a mortgage provider, or be your main obstacles, your three challenges, market challenges or consumer challenges, moving forward into the second half of this year, but obviously more laterally into 2023? What are the things that you guys have to overcome?
I think we are a privileged situation because the mortgage field is a let's say huge market. They always ask how big is your market. In the Netherlands is, let's say, 150 billion. We're still very small with, let's say, 1 billion. So it's less than 1% market share. And it's not a winner takes all market. You don't have to be a market leader worldwide because you have invented the Zoom software or Slack or whatsoever. So you can do things gradually. And then you have general topics like, how do you scale your company? How do you keep good people on board? We don't have any fluctuation, so that's pretty okay. But I think, let's say, in general, that's a topic at the moment. Then you have to be very let's say, focused on also the current status of our recession, what happens with marketing costs, etc. So you have to be very close to your data. Mm-hmm. And then I think something which is not said very often, you just need patience to see what happens, because there are a lot of players always moving very fast, mm-hmm. very aggressively. And what you see is that a lot of players have got, let's say, enormous amounts of money in the past, mm-hmm. have a high cash burn because they expended like crazy. And then you get down rounds like you saw with Klarna. So I think that if you just stay close to your own people, care about your people, building a stable company, care about your clients and reacting on that, solving just your daily problems, then everything will be fine in the end. And the faster you got and the higher your cash burn is and the more problems you have, the more difficult it will be. And in the past, we thought that you can scale and that problems you already had would just, let's say, disappear. And that often is not the case. So if you already have problems and you scale like hell, then problems don't become smaller automatically, but you really have to solve them.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been speaking a lot over the last few weeks, a few months with certain fintech founders, executive managers. And they, one of the things that constantly comes up is one of compliance and that regulatory framework that some fintechs, not all, but some fintechs have to operate in, even more so now than in the past. So from your perspective, how can fintechs continue to innovate with the advent of new regulations and further compliance and more compliance being put on top of their shoulders?
Yeah, I actually think that, let's say, if there are changes, and it can be in regulation, it can be consumer attitudes, etc., it's always a chance and something positive for new companies. Because, let's say, if nothing would change, the incumbents wouldn't have to react on that. They would just continue. So if, let's say, to just take an example, if you wouldn't have digitalization and everybody still had to go to, let's say, banking classical distribution channel, and getting money out of the wall, etc., and you would have, you would be new in this space, mm-hmm. and you would have to build this huge infrastructure, then everybody understands that it's very difficult to compete with those, let's say, old infrastructures. So if something changes, and it also can be regulation, then I would always embrace it and see it as a chance, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that there can be a lot of bureaucracy, etc., but you still have a lot of companies who are also act as service providers to solve or to help you. So I really think that a change in regulation is always a huge chance for fintech companies.
To continue to take a look at the opportunity that new regulation brings rather than looking at it as a burden. And that way, it will help you innovate, whether it's innovative new processes, maybe offerings, maybe your tech stack even, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we are, let's say, our company, VC, is a good example of the fact that new regulation helped us. So. Mm. When the Dutch regulator, AFM, decided after the financial crisis that it was not allowed anymore to pay kickbacks, which was the case also in the mortgage field, we said, okay, there's a huge chance. Because in the past, let's say, the advisor got a kickback from the bank. And then there was a new situation where it became fee-based. Mm-hmm. So we were one of the first movers. So we were very transparent. What we offered, what kind of advice. We made different packages, let's say, for first-time buyers, et cetera, and just moved faster than others. And it's always, let's say, if you have earned money in the past in a more easy way, or more hidden, you always see that those incumbents who did so, they always find it pretty difficult because they would say, okay, in the past, I got much more. Mm. Now I get less. And then it's difficult because you have to explain why do you get less now in comparison to what you got in the past. Although the service you offer has not changed. So there again, for us, it was a real chance. And it was also a possibility to grow in this mortgage segment. And before, we were general financial advisors and did everything. And then because of the fact that this regulation changed, we got a lot of traction. Mm-hmm. And then we decided even to specialize only on mortgage advice. So the changing of the regulation gave us the opportunities to specialize, especially in this field.
Nice.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
And, you know, looking across the ecosystem over the last, I guess, a few months anyway, you know, some fintechs have taken a bit of a battering. You know, we're speaking about one of them from Sweden early on. What do you think are the main challenges for fintechs, either scaling up or starting out? What are the main obstacles that they have to overcome during 2023?
I think it really depends on the segment you're in. So let's say if you are in a segment of winner takes all, let's just take as an example those neobanks.
Yeah.
There will be consolidation. And then the question is, okay, who is the one who has most money on which valuation to buy others?
Yeah.
That's a typical consolidation process. So that's something which you saw. Those companies, especially often American companies, they have higher valuations and more cash and then just buy their competitors or competitors just disappear. And then let's say probably every segment has its own, let's say, problems or tasks or whatsoever. I really can't give a, let's say, general answer.
Yeah.
It also could be, let's say, that your biggest challenge is to hire enormous amount of people, which in this situation at the moment is not so easy. If a recession, let's say, becomes, let's say, stronger, for one company, it can be positive.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you have a bottleneck at the labor market, then it helps you if a lot of other companies don't hire. If you compete with the big players like Google or let's say those or big banks like Goldman, etc., then you have probably other challenges. Mm-hmm. I think it's difficult to give a general answer for all those companies.
It feels like, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, that we need to make certain we understand, just understand as clear as we can understand it, what the recession is going to look like, and obviously do forward planning or scenario planning off the back of that. Then obviously there's essentially, you know, funding, there's a funding part of this as well. I know this is very generic. And as you also say, you know, funding leads to making certain we have the right workforce in our company. And on workforce, I mean, we've chatted before about workforce, but do you think that the workforce that the model of the workforce, i.e. this hybrid / remote model, will alter at all, or will continue moving forward as it is moving forward? Or do you think we've sort of settled on a sort of a hybrid model, or there's something else to come as we move forward into the new year?
I can only answer this, let's say, for our company, because I think there again, there are different flavors. So if you are, let's say, a global software company and you have people who only want to work remote, I mean, there are those examples. Yeah. It seems to work for that kind of environment. Let's say I can answer it for our company. What we just see is that, let's say, young people, they just want to go to the office. Mm. On the one hand, it has to do with their own situation at home. Sometimes they have not enough space or share perhaps apartments with other people in big cities. People who have a family situation, perhaps they love much more being able to, let's say, work remotely and only coming to the office when it really makes sense to do a team meeting, etc.
Yeah.
I think it's also different if you are new in a company, because how will you onboard into the culture knowing your colleagues if you have not worked with them before? So I personally, I mean, I've worked together with my co-founders for nearly 20 years now. If I don't see them regularly, I have a 20 years history, so I don't have to see them all the time on a physical location. But if you just started in a company and you're 24 and you only know your colleagues from a Zoom call or a screen, I mean, this doesn't work. So I believe in the hybrid model, but we'll just see where it ends. And in the end, I think people also, after a certain period of time, they just want to connect. I mean, we're a human being. So, I mean, why do we still meet our friends? Because we're human beings. I mean, it's not, I mean, otherwise we don't have to leave the apartment anymore and only talk to our friends on the screen. So, and I think everybody just notices that doesn't make you happy in the long run.
No, agreed. Last one from me. This is looking at just fintech in general. You know, what do you see as some of the opportunities out there in the market? I know you obviously are one vertical, but you know, working inside that vertical and also going out and talking to colleagues and friends, as I know you do. What are the green shoots out there that you think are going to be interested to see how they play out in 2023?
I think there are always opportunities and always chances also to start companies.
Yeah.
But I think we have to be much more aware of the fact that in the long run, you have to do something differently.
Yeah.
And which means that I think we have to train ourselves a little bit in an more intellectual way to ask, is there a chance if I do something in a totally different way? Is there a chance that that could be the right answer to a certain topic? Because if something seems to be totally obvious and everybody is moving in the same direction, perhaps you should go to train yourself to go in the other direction. So, and that, I mean, we know this about innovation. So the first person who thinks that one can fly is seen as crazy. And the first person who thinks that it makes sense to invent an automobile or a car is seen as crazy. So I mean, the future is always for the crazy ones. And then let's say, when is something totally crazy and stays crazy? And when is something very, let's say, innovative? And I mean, we always mention Steve Jobs, etc. If you ask clients if they think they will buy something, and nobody would have bought an iPad or something like that, and then he decided just to do it, or take his shops, etc. So, doing things differently is perhaps the main thing, instead of just in a way copying all those companies. But it's the same about scaling. So everybody, because money was so cheap, it was easy to have big valuations, and everybody wanted to be on the front of a kind of newsletters about valuations. And now perhaps a lot of people say, with all this money and this huge cash burn, we expanded in all those countries, how are we going to solve this? So sometimes it can be a real good idea just to think, could the opposite also be true?
No, I like it. And what is your tip? Yeah, I mean, we're going forward a long way here, right? What is your one word or your one tip to executives, leaders, managers out there that are scaling up their businesses in 2023? What's that one nugget of wisdom that you'd like to give to them?
Yeah, read beyond your own perspective. So let's say we used to read and to, doesn't matter if it's books or newspapers or newsletters, and we are so used to read the stuff we believe in ourselves. So we want to have a kind of positive feedback that we are right. But it's from an intellectual point of view, it's make much more sense to read stuff which feels unfamiliar or awkward or a kind of, let's say, as a kind of opposite opinion to our own. Because I mean, if everybody also says you're doing great and you only take the right decisions, that doesn't make you more critical. But we have to question ourselves much more, and questioning ourselves is a kind of training And then you can do this in a lot of different ways. But I think that the more people agree all the time and telling you that you're doing a great job, the nearer you are, let's say, facing this point of where I wouldn't say, let's say, the company gets bankrupt, but where you really should question. It's kind of a kind of do you create space for people who have a totally different opinion to sharpen your own view on your company and on your strategy?
I like it. Some sage advice there.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.